Good morning.
Morning.
Last Sunday, in the first reading, the prophet Isaiah opened the church's new year, in which we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. Come, he said, let us climb the Lord's mountain, that he may instruct us in his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. We are on this journey. These 4 weeks of Advent are really the opportunity to renew our faith, to start over, to start at the beginning. So let's go back to our deepest connection with the God from whom we came as infants. Isn't it fascinating that during Advent, we are preparing to welcome God into our human family as an infant, a tiny baby, on Christmas morning? There were all kinds of expectations of what this baby in a manger was going to accomplish on our behalf. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to us again this morning, on this second Sunday of Advent, giving us more details about what this life of faith looks like. Isaiah is a beautifully poetic prophet, hoping to touch our hearts and inspire us to return to our best selves, to our love of our amazing God. Isaiah says that this special person who comes as a baby will have the power to radically change the way we live, because he will bring God's own spirit to earth. This is what he says. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and a sense of the awesomeness of God. He calls it fear of the Lord. When this spirit-filled person, Jesus, our Savior, born on Christmas morning, delivers God's message to the world, it will flip the world on its head. It will shatter old value systems. It will establish a way of living that can only happen with the help of the Holy Spirit. It will make this world into God's kingdom. With our help, it will bring about a whole new order. So we want to listen carefully to the description of God's new order as Isaiah spells it out in the first reading this morning. Then, in the psalm response, we will sum up the heart of the new Savior's message as we sing that he brings justice and the fullness of peace forever. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And he recognizes how hard, how challenging it is to live justice and to be peacemakers. So he prays for us. He prays that we have endurance and encouragement. St. Paul knew firsthand how often people who try to live justly are treated harshly. But what would our lives be like if kindness and justice disappeared from this world? St. Paul encourages us to be kind. He says, "Welcome one another as Christ welcomed you." Justice and kindness gives God glory, meaning these are the things that make God's presence with us real, experiential, because God is loving kindness. God is compassion. Our loving kindness to others is God in us. Finally today, in the gospel, we meet St. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. He's such a fascinating character, unusual, I think a little weird. I'm sure he frightened some people, but he was a big hit among certain other folks. The gospel tells us, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him. Why were these people following him? John was known for making the religious leaders among the Jews of his day, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, his targets. He was baptizing people in the Jordan River, and when they showed up, he shouted at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" The Sadducees were aristocrats who held high positions in their religious community, and they had incomes to match it. They saw John as an abomination. The Sadducees were religious fundamentalists, insisting on temple worship, and they accepted only the teaching of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. The Pharisees were theological liberals, sort of the canon lawyers of the Jewish community. They were what we might call the politically correct folks who promoted study and worship that could happen in the synagogues. But they were not great examples of how to live the justice that they themselves and the prophet Isaiah taught. Now, on the other hand, the folks who were following John the Baptist weren't famous for their religiosity. They were probably barely able to recite a basic prayer or two. John appealed to them because he announced something different. He didn't preach some pie-in-the-sky stuff. He demanded faith and hope that had real consequences. I imagine he challenged them with questions like, "Are you with the conservatives who think they know God's truth and are so clear and strict about what faith demands? Judging others instead of yourselves? With whom would you identify? Are you with the politically correct liberals who strive to be pure, who adjust their religious practices to fit the times, all the while convincing themselves that they're doing everything right, following the rules, looking good?" Well, as we hear about John today in the gospel, talking about Jesus and calling for repentance, let's reflect on how to prepare our hearts in the weeks ahead, how to soften our hearts to receive our God who comes to us tenderly, helplessly, as a baby, so vulnerable, calling us to lay down all of our defenses, putting aside our egos, and letting our sweetest selves emerge. This is how God's kingdom will come. So we must pray for each other, for endurance and encouragement, as St. Paul did.